against, I guess.
Okay.
I'm against this because I do think it goes in greater detail, and I'm also a little concerned because I know in the last election, those individuals who happen to be on-air staff or unpaid or whatever, you know, they're on all the, you know, every week, the same does not apply to listeners and that type of thing, even though they, you know, they all come together at the end. So I would suggest where it says, let's see, I think around 7 senses down, where it says that may be utilized by the election supervisor to enforce the fair campaign provisions of the bylaws, period, and strike the rest about the, you know, the hands off and all of that. Basically, it then says that they'll develop a policy and bring it to us in September for us to consider, and let the national election supervisor do what we're paying him or her to do.
Mark?
This is Carol. I'd like to say, speak in favor. Okay. Of the
I'd like to speak against it, Ray.
All right, Ray, just a moment. Okay, Carol.
Okay. This motion goes to any kinds of discipline that would involve the station staff for their infractions of the rules governing listener elections. You see, the problem is not the staff elections, because anything you say on the air about staff doesn't matter because listeners don't vote for staff.
True.
So the question is, when staff violate the fair elections provisions concerning the listener election. And what this does is say, yeah, we recognize that there's a problem here, and we want the management of this organization and the executive director to get together with the election supervisor and come up with some policies about how to deal with that and bring them to the board in September.
Madam Chair,
and we're giving the directive, of course, that the spirit of this thing is that everybody on station staff, including the management, will take a hands-off attitude towards the listener election.
But see, Carol, that's two things.
I'm sorry, Mark.
All right, Ray.
Madam Chair.
Well, otherwise we won't get to the heart of it.
Okay, Ray.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I don't know that I even relinquished the floor yet, just because I got interrupted.
Madam Chair, there's time
I'm sorry, I thought you were through.
Well, I'm sure I wasn't quite, but now I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Okay.
I got interrupted.
I'm grumpy about it.
Let me go back. The spirit of this thing is, let's collaborate with our managers so that they can help our election supervisor devise some policies within the spirit of the staff has to take a hands-off attitude towards the listener's election as commanded by the bylaws that they do.
Madam Chair, this is Star.
Ray, you are...
Yes, I want to speak in particular against the last section that prohibits listener candidates from appearing on the air. It is clear that one of the missions, one aspect of the mission, is to give a voice to communities. And this is, by the way, happened specifically in New York City, where individuals, this was in effect. Crisis moments within communities will not be able to be brought to the air. People who are not sick. For example, somebody like Lynn Stewart is an attorney who was fighting for her life would not be able to come to us and speak about it if she was a candidate for the local board. So that we have to find a different way to monitor this. And one of the ways would be to specify that no mention would be made of electoral issues during the discussion. But I was very strong in the notion that once somebody is a candidate, they could no longer appear on the air for 3 months or more during the
electoral period. Maureen, I want to speak. This is Teresa. I'm for it.
Okay. Is there Teresa for? Go ahead.
This is Sarah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound like I was interrupting you, Ray. But I do disagree with you. I think that this item contains everything that we were contains many many things that we were doing in our last election concerning what the supervisors, you know, developing policy. And I think that's very prudent, and also being concerned about how people appear on the air and how that might affect votes for them. People, candidates are not are not kept from being, excuse me, as they're not kept from being on the air until following the close of nominations, and I think that's prudent.
This is Roger.
Okay, we've had two for and two against. I'd like to vote. Do people feel that they need a little more time, or can we vote on that?
We can vote.
All right.
Let's vote.
Roll vote, please.
Okay. Dave is not here still. Teresa?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
There has no greater use for anybody in this society than it does for those in other...
Dave?
Yeah.
Is that Dave? Okay, I'm sorry,
on
Sam?
On the air, yeah.
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. Sonali?
Can you come back to me?
Sure. Ray?
No.
Ambrose?
No.
Miguel?
Yes.
Roger, yes. Kalonji?
Yes.
Sarv?
Nope.
Mark?
No.
Vicky?
Abstained.
Joe?
What was that?
Abstained.
Abstained.
Vicky abstained. Gerald?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Zarina?
I'm abstaining.
Alice?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
William?
Is this main number 12?
This is 12, yeah.
No.
And Dave, are you hearing us? And I think he was the only person I skipped over, right?
No, Sonali.
Oh,
Sonali.
All right, Sonali?
I'll abstain.
So,
yes.
I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is what I have. Are we finished voting?
Yes.
One, the yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven,
Madam
eight,
Chair, this is Gerald. I have to drop
nine,
out the call.
10.
Hey, thanks, Gerald.
10 yes, I have. And no's, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10 yes, 5 no.
Passes.
Passes.
Madam Chair, point of privilege, Professor Lonnie talking.
Yes, Lonnie.
You know, I want to just speak at the end of this process here, but there are some things here that I'm hoping that there is a sense on the board that are not addressed in the policies that we have just adopted. And they include, a certification process so that an election can be certified. One of the crucial duties of a national election supervisor is to have a clear-cut certification process. Number two is that you have to also be clear about what constitutes a conflict of interest. We have a lot of issues that are aimed at staff situations, but we ought to also look at what constitutes a conflict of interest in the election process. Three would be budget. The National Election Supervisor should be required to come up with a budget around these policies so that implementation can be made clear as to cost, and that comes back to the board. Item is around vetting board members. That's the election process. We did elect board members, but we did not have a process to vet board members. We did not know, in fact, other than what's in the biographies, a way to identify that board members are the people they say they are. So there has to be some process, at least FCC-related, that gives us an idea that the folks that we do elect to the board would at least pass FCC regs. Those are my four recommendations.
Lonnie, I'm sorry, what was number four then?
It's a that members are elected to the board should be at least certified to be able to pass FCC backgrounders. And that's part of the regulations that's part of us.
For the national board.
Yeah, we should have some vetting process for board members. And we don't as yet have anything. And aside from that FCC component.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Point of personal privilege. My ride is here, and I really have to go. I might come back on. I really have no idea because we've lost kind of track of time here. I have no idea how much longer this meeting will last.
Madam Chair?
We are on, just a moment, we are on item 3, and we have 10 items.
Right.
So if you feel so inclined, I would check back in. If
Madam Chair? Madam
yes,
Chair?
Talking?
Yeah, Dan? This is Dan.
Dan? Oh, sorry.
Hi. Getting the note on the meeting when
scheduled the meeting to last 2.5 or 3 hours. I do have to leave now, and so does Lonnie. I'm wondering if we can table or deal with these issues at a later date. Some of them are really critical to operational issues, to management issues, to some of the issues that we're dealing with on a day-to-day level. I will write to the board on point number 4 and point number 7, but I'm hoping that maybe we can, the board would table these discussions, these agenda items, to another board meeting later on in probably next month or something.
Madam Chair,
just a moment. Dan, how much time do you have left?
I don't have any time left. I'm, like, way overdue. I have to leave.
Marty, may I ask a question of Dan, just a point of information regarding the agenda?
Yeah.
I just want to know, because I'm on the governance committee and we have this agenda item. Dan, two questions. When are the FSRN negotiations actually happening? And two, as per our contracts policy that was passed at the last meeting in Houston, were we not supposed to receive from you something in writing? Maybe we did, and I might have missed it in email.
I don't recall anything specific on contracts. Refresh my memory.
We passed a policy on contracts saying that something to the effect of 14 days before,
right,
before we actually have a contract that's signed or negotiated, that we need something in writing from you. I don't have the exact wording, but if you're not aware of it, I guess you should be.
Yeah, there's no contracts that I'm aware of right now that would fall into that category of resolution. There's nothing extraordinary or unusual that this office that I'm aware of would be doing in the course of the next week. And if there is indeed anything unusual or extraordinary, I would, of course, bring it to the board's attention, or certainly if it involved financial matters, it would obviously come to the board's attention. But most major initiatives would, of course, be run by the board in terms of contracts. But on the other issue, on the Free Speech Radio News issues, we've had a process underway for some time. We managed to get together this past weekend and had a fruitful discussion. The process is undergoing. It's obviously fairly sensitive, but I'd be more than happy to send you a little note on that, as well as another item that is very, I think, that the board really must address. Is the staff board issues or delegate director / staff issues. The board really needs to move on those, and I have some recommendations in that area. I'd be happy to – I'll put them down in writing right now.
What do you mean? You mean number 4 on BAI?
Yeah, I mean the broader issues that we've been discussing for several months now. But, yeah, that issue blown up a little bit involving the totality of board staff relations that we need to move on, including issues that were brought to the board's attention in Houston, I think we need to really deal with.
Well, Dan,
Madam Chair, may I ask a question of Dan before he leaves? This is Mark.
Mark, yes, you may, and I want to ask him something, and then we need to let him
go. Okay, I'm just concerned because according to the Governance Committee motion that I have here, one of the things it calls for is that, well, the motion asks that 3 board members forget the number, but that there be board members involved in the
3
negotiations. Oh, I know what it is, but I'm saying we may not agree on that number, but that the Free Speech Radio News negotiations would include board members. If we postpone that, are there going to be meetings, substantive meetings between now and then, such that when the board members arrive, everything's done, but can you sign this or not? Or will they be part of the active negotiations, which I think is what the spirit of the motion calls for?
Yeah, I don't really possess those kind of powers of prophecy, but nothing is imminent. There is a process underway, but nothing is imminent, and there is no urgency. I have some issues with that resolution coming out of governance, which I'm obviously happy to share at the next board meeting, but there's nothing imminent there. This is a process that has some way to go. By that I mean I don't anticipate anything being finalized it's certainly not before probably end of August. That's the timeline we're probably
right.
Looking at.
Dan, so I understand you're going on vacation on Friday. and that you will be gone through the 10th of July. Is that correct?
Yeah, thank you. Be right out.
Sorry, Marty, I was just to get another call. What's that?
So you're going on vacation on the 25th of this month?
Yeah.
And you will be gone through, I'm sorry, what date?
July 10th, I'll be back.
July 10th. And so there, I think that there are, well, the FSRN issue, the and the WBAI issue seems to be, this seems to be of some timeliness. And
I would say the staff board issues is a very big issue, and I'll write you about that within the next day, for sure. That is the most pressing issue in my view. The FSRN issue is something that's ongoing. Nothing is going to happen with that for well, obviously I'm going on holiday. We have no plans right now to do anything within the next several weeks, so we can reconvene on that issue and have a full discussion on it without anything changing between now and the next time we meet.
Could I just ask for clarification?
Yes.
During now and between now and July 10th when you come back, Dan, are you saying that there will be no negotiating sessions involving Pacifica and FSRN?
That's right. Nothing is scheduled right now. Nothing
and
is
nothing
scheduled.
Nothing will be scheduled prior to your return on July 10th?
No.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions for Dan? I guess I have one, and that is the, maybe this is for Lonnie, and I don't know if he's already gone, but have we received the salary information yet?
No.
And when is that going to be forthcoming?
Well, the salary information is ready to go, but the anticipation was at this meeting, Marty.
Yeah.
Some rules and guidelines around confidentiality and the use of that information would be forthcoming, but I've got a place on the website ready to go where and I can send out passwords tomorrow, but question is, what will be the guidelines this board wants to put in place around their use?
And we will be getting to that at number 5, I believe.
Yeah, that would be.
So will you be ready then to post it once these guidelines are made?
Well,
Excuse me, just a second here.
Wait, our understanding and agreement, Lonnie, I mean, the number 5 actually has to do with something separate, but we had already discussed that on the 25th, after the National Finance Committee meeting where we briefed the treasurers, who, of course, are not members of the board, that information would be made available at that time.
No, that was not my understanding. My understanding, as I got it from you, was that the information on salaries would be made available to the treasurers, to the board, on that differential basis we discussed as soon as the rules were set up at this meeting around it. And I'm prepared to do that.
No, because we've already voted on that motion.
We already passed the motion.
We already passed that motion.
Well, now we have confusion. I'm happy to do it. I talked to you 3 days ago, Mark. I told you it was ready to go with the financial.
Right, and I told you, I sent you an email, which many of the people here got, about the fact that the 25th was going to be the date for that. I spoke to you today. I mean, in other words, what we had said was once we had an understanding, because the treasurers were not at the board meeting, we wanted to talk with them because they will also have access to that secured spot that you want to create for two things. One, the exact salary information.
I'm back.
And that would be without any parameters, without a range. And then the range information, which the treasurers would be able to disseminate to their local finance committees. That we already agreed to that procedure.
Well, we have a misunderstanding. I can post the stuff as soon as I get
there. Okay. Well, I tell you what, are you going to be in tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call you so we can go through, and I'll resend to you the memo that outlined it, and then we'll talk about any concerns about that tomorrow, so we won't take up any more time here, okay?
Well, I do want to make certain that there's no agreement that
counterfails
the motion and resolution already passed by the National Board.
Oh, of course not, Carol. You know me better than that.
Now, will that be under discussion at this meeting tonight, and will there be additional proviso? That's all I need to know.
No.
We didn't have any on the agenda.
A point of information here from your secretary in the agenda that I published. I have item 5, discussion and vote on resolution affirming the rights of treasurers to all information distributed to the Finance Committee, which confused me because
yes.
I thought we passed that motion, and in fact my minutes reflect that we passed
yes.
that motion.
Well, actually, what happened is the motion that we passed in Houston,
which I have right in front of me,
right, says, if you look at it, it says salary and headcount information.
Yeah.
It's restricted to salary and headcount information.
Uh-huh.
This motion simply reflects, it says, and other source documents. There's only, it's basically four words added.
Because
that wasn't in the
original. Tonight we were, to my point of information answer is that, in other words, tonight we had a similar motion as that, a new motion that was going to be presented.
Expand.
It adds four words to the motion that was passed.
Right.
In
we already adopted the salaries and headcounts information.
Right. The salary headcounts has been adopted. This is just to clarify for the treasurers if
all
they have a question about anything else.
All information will be available to
right.
them.
Right. But that's a different matter if we
yeah.
want. I mean, but the point of the matter is it adds four lines to the motion that was passed to answer your question, Roger,
yeah.
in June.
And
we will get to it.
All
so
right.
are there any other issues that we need to say to Dan and Lonnie right this moment?
Thank you, Marty.
Okay.
Have a good vacation.
Thanks. Take care, everybody.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Dan, where you going?
Madam Chair.
Wait a minute.
Hey.
Or anything.
Hey, you want to know where I'm going, Mark?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. That's top information. That will require a resolution.
Yes,
Chair, can we continue, please? It's very late here in New York.
Yes, go ahead.
Madam,
Madam
Chair,
Madam Chair I asked for the floor, please.
Yes,
this
I was
is
just
Alice.
To say I'm saying goodnight. Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
That's all. Thank
Madam
you.
Madam Chair,
I have to go.
It's
Thank
Alice,
you.
And I recommend that we continue and go through this entire agenda. There's some really important things on here.
We need to deal with
number 4.
We need to deal with number 4, and we need to deal with Sam's issue. Okay?
Okay.
Go
what
ahead,
about
Alice.
Free Speech Radio?
4.
Okay, sorry. Let me get my papers together again.
That's on the rest of the agenda, girl.
We're going back now to some of the stuff that we were unable to do during the first 12
right.
days. And then we will move as quickly as we can through everything
okay.
else.
Okay, here
far
we go.
As, so.
This is my substitute motion for number 4, which we already omitted, the entire original number 4. I propose a substitute motion for policy number 4 so that it will read, resolved that for the purposes of establishing non-staff volunteer membership eligibility for volunteers pursuant to Article 3, Section 1A of the Pacifica Bylaws, such eligibility shall be held by anyone who has volunteered a minimum of 3 hours of service to any Foundation radio station, which work shall be performed under the supervision of the Foundation radio station management, including volunteer work on committees of the local station board, that a paid staff employee of the station shall be the volunteer supervisor who will create and be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location of the work done, and including the signature of the supervisor attesting to the work completed. These records must be made available to the election supervisor and may be validated by the election supervisor in determining eligibility to vote as a listener member. I also included the relevant quote from the bylaws, which
Point of information.
Yes.
Is this just applicable to WBAI?
No.
But that's why she's tripping, though.
So it's, but I'm saying, so this would apply to the whole network?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like to be out to the stock.
Okay. So someone to speak for or against?
I'll speak against.
Okay.
I want to speak for.
There's no second. We don't discuss.
Oh,
that.
I'm sorry. Do we have a second to Alice's proposal?
I second that, Miguel.
All right. Now. Okay. William.
I'm speaking against that.
Okay. Go
Can
ahead.
Can I speak for it?
All right. Go ahead, William.
I just want a committee to discuss volunteer and unpaid staff issues, and I understand that the Elections Committee did it. I think that there's some glaring differences between what's being presented and what's being done, at least at this station here. And I don't think that paid – I'm a member of both paid and unpaid staff personally, and as a
unpaid staff member, I wouldn't want a paid staff member signing off on the hours that I do. I think it's something that the collectives should be determining how that's done, and maybe there's an individual that's responsible for it, and I'm not sure what the history is behind this, and that's why today I would vote this motion down, and I think that we should discuss it in a committee. That
point of information.
This, is
this doesn't have to do with unpaid staff. It has to do with listener volunteers only.
It's just, but I mean, the problem though is that I think that there's a definite distinguishing between volunteers and unpaid staff here in Berkeley. But just from the discussion of staff issues on other parts of this agenda, I don't think it's so distinguished, and I really think that the different station areas need to have a discussion about it before we set forth a policy about it that's in stone that can't be changed, at least not easily.
Thank you, William.
All right, four, Gerald.
Okay, and was there another four that I heard before? Okay, go ahead, Gerald.
Look, William, this is not anything that's really controversial if you think about it. The truth of the matter is we make a lot of mistakes. Even when we're doing our phone calls, a lot of times people don't come in and then don't sign up by accident. You know, they didn't know because maybe they came in right at a moment when we were in the heat of all the phone calls coming in. What this is saying is that we be a little more conscientious about being sure that somebody's monitoring that and verifying that. Because we want to get volunteers, for instance, to work with our committees. Let's say the outreach committee. So let's say somebody goes and works with us twice. You know, let's say on Gay Pride Day, they go both days for 4 hours a day. Well, that's 8 hours. They have done enough time to vote if they want to vote. We're saying that somebody should really be responsible for taking that on and signing them off for those hours, informing them of their rights, and making sure that they know that if they want to vote, they can vote. I think that's what this is really about. I think you're for it, William.
I'd like to speak again.
Okay, who's that?
Mark.
Okay.
I'm for it because I do believe in the volunteers. I just had a couple of questions here where it says that a paid staff employee shall be the volunteer supervisor. And I think at PFW, a volunteer supervisor is unpaid. Not exactly sure why that's required that they be paid. And also And it says be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer. For a lot of volunteers, you come in, they point you to the phone, you know, you sign in, you answer the phone, you mail letters, you lick stamps. And so I'm just a little concerned that we're not imposing a little micromanagement on the station in terms of how they handle their volunteers.
Roger.
Madam Chairman.
Hey, is somebody for Roger?
I want to speak in favor of the motion with an amendment within the lines of what Mark just said, because it's not practical to have necessarily a paid employee. I would suggest that although I understand, I agree with the intent, but that a volunteer supervisor will create and be responsible for is how I would reword it. Alice, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you're going to strike some words. Would you be clear?
Move to strike in the second paragraph.
Paid staff.
A paid staff employee of the station shall be the volunteer, would be stricken, and then one word after that, which so the sentence makes sense, is supervisor. Who? And the word who as well.
You want me to read it?
Please.
Sure, if you do.
That a volunteer supervisor will create and be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location of the work done, and including, and then it goes on.
Roger, can I make that friendly? Just strike written. Written and just say assignments, and then that's good enough for me.
Sounds great, Gerald.
Okay?
I would accept that since I haven't been seconded yet. So.
I don't.
You can make amendments to amendments before they are seconded.
Right.
Second.
Madam Chairman.
All right, now it's been seconded, so now we're discussing the amendment.
Madam Chairman, I had a point of privilege here.
Yes.
I need to get off the phone, and I'm coming right back, but I wanted to say that I'm going to completely withdraw my motion that I was going to add at the end here, so you can just skip over that and go to the next issue.
All right, thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
All right.
I'd like to just point out a suggestion.
Now, what you wanted, what we did?
Yeah, I mean, I probably will still vote against it, but if you're saying volunteer supervisor, it's probably more appropriate to say volunteer coordinator.
Okay, coordinator. Now vote for it.
we'll see when it's stated.
All right, so the amendment is, are we clear on the amendment?
No, could you just
can
read
we
it?
Read it and then vote?
Yeah.
Sorry,
want
Carol.
Want me to read the whole thing, or Roger, you want to do it?
Point of order, can we, can Williams thing be a motion to amend my amendment, and then we can just accept it without objection that we say a coordinator as opposed to supervisor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
essentially
well done.
What we're trying to do is say somebody on staff is going to keep track of
right.
it.
Right, but I'm just saying that's the way to change that word. That sounds nice.
Right.
That sounds
okay.
Good. Let's do that.
So could we read the motion, the amendment, or read the words that will be written?
The second paragraph I'll read.
Uh-huh.
That a volunteer coordinator will create and be responsible for written assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location.
Wait, did you leave written there?
What?
You written comes out.
You're supposed to strike written.
Written written
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That a volunteer coordinator will create and be responsible for assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location of the work done, and including the signature of the supervisor attesting to the work completed. These records must be made available to the election supervisor and may be validated by the election supervisor in determining eligibility to vote as a listener member.
And we're going to change supervisor to coordinator in terms of the volunteer.
I did that, volunteer coordinator.
Well, we should
we
do it on
do
the second one, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And including the signature of the coordinator.
Yeah.
So we're
one
consistent.
And including the signature of the coordinator. Very good. Thank you.
All right. This is Carol.
Go ahead.
Well, we're still at it. I think we need this thing is overwritten. That's the problem with it. So we've got the volunteer coordinator not making written assignments, but certifying that they did the job and what it was?
Yeah, because you have to sign
well,
in.
What does it say? What's the exact wording?
A volunteer coordinator will create and be responsible for assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location.
Right. Well, that's the create and be responsible for the assignments. I mean, there are people all around the station who are creating assignments.
Mm.
And their service on LSV committees is also the creation of an assignment. So I don't think the volunteer coordinator can create the assignments.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be amended, which is shall keep records of all the assignments,
uh-huh.
hours. If we could just tweak it enough to get that out, because the coordinator isn't going to create these assignments.
So should it read that a volunteer coordinator will keep records for the assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll keep records.
Thank you,
Sorry, you lost me there. Where exactly is
so
the second paragraph?
That a volunteer coordinator will keep records for assignments for each volunteer, giving the date, time, and location of the work done.
Can't we just say of the work of all volunteers?
Will keep records for the work
of all listener volunteers.
Of all listener volunteers.
Well, we need the date and time to confirm that it happened.
For the work of all listeners,
Wait, but I'm just saying
yes, and then go on to say including the date, time.
Giving the date, time, and location of the work done, and including the signature of the coordinator attesting to the work completed.
Okay.
So
can you read that again?
Here it is.
Okay.
That a volunteer coordinator will keep records for the work of all listener volunteers, giving the date, time, and location of the work done, and including the signature of the coordinator attesting to the work completed.
Okay.
I would change that.
What?
I would change including the signature of the coordinator. That's where you want the signature of the supervisor, the person who...
I disagree, Carol. I think it's fine.
Just a minute. I mean, if they've worked on an LSB committee... then the committee chair will sign. If they've worked in the phone room, then the tally room coordinator will sign. That's what would go to the elections, or rather the volunteer coordinator, so he or she knows somebody did some work.
Well, the bylaws, don't they exempt LSB work?
Yes, but the coordinator's not going to be there. They can't attest to their having done the work.
So,
but I mean, they exempt LSB work from the 3 hours.
No, they don't.
Well, I know they do for the LSB delegates. I don't know if they do.
Sorry, Mark. It's a stupid thing that should never have been put in the bylaws, but it's there.
I agree.
All right, so it is there. We have to live with it. Service on an LSB committee counts.
If you're not an LSB member.
If you're not an LSB member, it counts as volunteer hours towards the 3 hours here.
Right. But
so,
if you...
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.